Well, good morning, everyone. It's nice to see you, and I'd like to say thank you very much to the elders for letting me come and share for the past few months, however many months that has been. I don't know how many years it sounded like it's been, but Joel, how long has it been? Do you know? Almost 2 years. And thank you to you for your kindness and your thoughtfulness to me. Joel, thank you so much for the work you've done. You've just done so much good preaching and teaching, and thank you for that. It's really amazing what you've done. May God bless you and your family for that. We returned from Hawaii. We went to see Heidi and her children, and Adam, her husband, was gone for everything except for the last day, and we had a great time with them. And Heidi is turning today. It's her birthday. She's another year older. And so we enjoyed that. This last week, we had our camp for returned missionary kids. And we had about 135 people there who have lived in 43 different countries. Trying to come back to the States, trying to learn how to live here in this country like they had to learn in another country. And transitions are hard. The Lewis family right now is in the middle of a big transition. Do you know what stage of transition they're in? They are in the neutral zone. The neutral zone. So whenever they announce to people at their home, we're leaving and going to Oklahoma, then in the next few months, people have been saying to them, hey, in December, oh, you're not going to be here. Oh, in September, oh, sorry, you're not going to be here. And slowly kind of people are pulling away. Just, it's a normal thing. And the friendships that they've had that have been really close are beginning to have a bit of a gap. When they get here, they're still in the neutral zone. Because you guys don't know them. They don't know anybody. And you may just continue doing the things you've done. And then at some point, someone will say, hey, we should invite the Lewises. And they will begin to feel more part of it. They won't know very many names. They won't know places in Tulsa. They're in a neutral zone, which as one of our participants in one of our missionary training things said, I was calling that purgatory. It is a neutral zone. It's a hard time. And that's where they are right now. And so, again, as we talked about earlier, remember when I talked about the perfect preacher and his perfect family coming to the perfect church? Yeah, well, that's not happening because there's no perfect preacher or family or church. But give them time, love them, accept them, welcome them. They're coming to another culture. They've lived in the Northwest their whole lives. Our culture in Tulsa and Oklahoma is different than the culture in the Northwest. He will say some things that sound funny to you because it's Northwestern talk. And he will maybe, and so you're all working together, loving, sharing, and you're remembering it's the Lord Jesus we're serving. We're all serving the Lord, and we're trying to do the best we can for him. I was sitting there, and I just almost changed my lesson. I do that periodically. I'll work hard on the lesson, and then all of a sudden at the last minute something hits me and says, no, I should say that, but I guess I'll go ahead and go with it because I'm not as young as I used to be, and I may not remember everything that I was going to say. So I'm going to go ahead and do the lesson that I'd prepared to do. And my lesson is, let's go forward. Guys, let's go forward. And I'm not saying you haven't been, okay? And when I've been here preaching, I just, 40 years ago in January, in this coming January, it's when you guys sent us to Australia. 40 years ago. Can you believe that? What in the world? Where did those years go? But we've had a long relationship with this church, a loving, kind relationship with you, and thank you so much. I want to do one other thing. Last time I was here, I asked the kids to come up and stand, and some of the kids came up and stood here on the stage with me. What I wanted to do today real quickly, and if you want to get where you can kind of turn around, those of you who've been here 40 years or longer in this church, would you stand, please? 40 years or longer, will you stand, please? Don't get any fights over it, okay? All right. Isn't that beautiful? How many of you have been here? 30, keep standing. 30 years or longer. 30 years or longer. Are you looking around and seeing who have been longtime people who have kept this church going? 20 years or longer, please stand. 20 years or longer. 10 years or longer. Okay, and look, we've got, thank you, good. And we have some people who are in the newer category. Will you guys stand too? Will you guys, all of you stand, everybody? Stand, everyone? And I'm going to pray for all of us that we continue to work together as a church to bring glory and honor to God. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful for everyone who's here this morning. We're thankful for those people who've been here for many, many, many years and given of their time, their talents, their wealth, and to keep this church going. And we know they have a deep love for you and a deep love for this church. We pray that you will continue to bless them. We're thankful for those who are newer members who have come and have brought some fresh energy and some fresh life to this church. And we pray that all of us will do everything we can to reach out to people in this city to see that your name is glorified and that your church is strengthened and built strong and does great things for you. Lord, bless this good church, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you can be seated now. Thank you, guys. And again, some of you, those of you who've been here a long time, you just kept things going. You've helped so many people through the years, and you continue to do that. God bless you for that. I just want to am I doing 3 points this morning? I don't like to be a three-point preacher, but it looks like that's what I'm doing. This morning, I want to start off with a man named Ira North. He was the cousin of Stafford North, and he was the preacher at the Madison Church of Christ in Nashville. At one point, it was the largest Church of Christ in the world. Apparently, according to him in a book that he wrote, and to many people, he would start off a lot of sermons with these words: make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Ephesians chapter 4. He said that is the golden rule of church growth: having unity and togetherness in the bond of peace. And again, it's keeping, not making. The Spirit has given us unity. He has brought us together in a unified way. Now, our job is to make every effort to keep that unity. Guys, being united, being together, we can do so much more. Have you ever seen a sports team and you could tell they weren't united and someone had to be the hot dog? He had to be the big guy on the team and the team suffered because he wouldn't play with everybody else. Can you imagine a football game? Our coach, he used to say to us, he said, don't just stand there, do something, even if it's wrong. I said, I'm on offense. You want me to tackle our running back? He said, well, no, you know what I mean. I said, well, say what you mean. No, you don't mean. Okay. But anyway, unified. You're not unified if your offensive tackle turns around and tackles your quarterback. He's not working for the team. So make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. Working together, we can do so much more. That word synergy. You know, you get one horse and he can pull so much. Two horses, they can pull a lot more than twice as much as one horse. Five horses working together can pull like 10 times more than five individual horses. That synergy, we're working together. You guys have talents. You have abilities. You have thoughts. You bring those together to glorify God, and great things can happen. You remember Jesus in John chapter 17, he had that long prayer that we would be united. And he said, just as the Father and I are one, he wants us to be one. And as we're one, what do? We show the world the beauty of Christ. And we show the world that God sent Jesus. So I'm just encouraging you again to think. I remember we built a church building in Campbelltown. And nobody else wanted to do it, so somehow me with no building experience in a foreign country was in charge of building a church building. One of the funny things was that I talked to the architect, I said to him, we'd like a water fountain, please. And he said, okay. And he said, all right. So then we got the plans, and I looked at the water fountain. It was right up here at the front. I said, how in the world are people going to come up to the front and get a drink of water right there? He was an Anglican. He was thinking baptismal font. A little bowl of water to christen babies. Anyway, it was interesting going through the building project. We had a lady who is an artist. She thought the color of the auditorium, it was, let's see, what do we call it? Do we call it sheetrock or gyprock here? Sheetrock. In Australia, it's gyprock. Anyway, so she was going to be painted. She had kind of a limey green color. She thought was beautiful. Boy, oh boy, it keeps you awake, I'm telling you what. And so she painted it, and a lot of people complained. And so I just kept saying, guys, it does it really matter? I mean, does it really matter? Let's leave it alone. And just what we're doing is bring people to Christ. At some point, these walls will need to be painted. Then we can have another big debate about that, you know, if we want to. But don't divide a church over the color of the walls. And you guys have heard of churches being divided over even less than that. Leave those things alone. We're working together in unity. We're trying to each of us grow spiritually and encourage each other in our spiritual walk. And we're also being a light into the community around us. Let me encourage us to think about the idea of unity and make every effort to do that. You guys remember we did a little bit in the book of Nehemiah for a few weeks. And remember, when the people got started building the wall, there was a lot of discouragement. They'd been trying to build that wall for probably around 100 years and hadn't gotten it done. Nehemiah comes in. He gets them united. He deals with the external problems. He deals with the internal problems. And remember that Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. We rebuilt the wall to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. They all got together, they all got on the same page, and they worked together. You know, in there too, and I didn't write this down. Nehemiah says, if the enemy attacks, remember, stand and fight for your family. Guys, I hope you're fighting for each other. I hope you're fighting for each other spiritually, not fighting each other. Fighting for each other. We had a few times in our ministry in Australia that someone would kind of complain about something. And there were a few times I'm not a real confrontational person. I don't like confrontation. But there are some things that are worth kind of fighting for. And a couple times I'd say, no, we have to do this. It's about our ladies were having a lot of Bible studies. Having a lot of Bible studies with other ladies. Nancy, there's no telling how many Bible studies she had with others and other ladies in the church. And one of the men came, and he was a new Christian. He said, I don't think the ladies should be having Bible studies without a man there. What? I don't think the ladies should be having a Bible study without the men there. That is wrong. I said, could you point some scripture out to me that says that, or what are you talking about anyway? Well, the rest of the men kind of said, yeah, I think we should. I said, no. So we taught, guys, I would not let that go. There are some things that are worth standing and fighting for. And I felt like I was fighting for my wife and the other women to do what the Lord wanted them to do. So we're going to stand and fight for each other. And we resolved it peacefully. I didn't, you know, I just said, I don't think that's right. Let's talk about it some more. Let's look at some. Next month, they wanted to drop it. I said, no, this is something we can't drop because our women are doing what God wants. He wants us to teach other people they're doing it. What in the world are you talking about? So we finally worked through 3 or 4 months and got to where I felt like was a better place. Stand and fight for each other. You remember Acts chapter 2, at the end of the chapter, what does it talk about the early church was doing? The early church was meeting together in the temple courts. They were getting together and eating and fellowship together. They had great unity and great harmony, and they all were. Now, did that last for eternity? No. I'm sure they had some problems. Later, Paul comes back. there's problems with should Gentiles be circumcised, how Jewish does a Gentile person has to be. But as they were united and the church started, what an impact they made in Jerusalem and throughout the world. I would like to encourage you to continue to be united, and we're all working together and all going to try to help each other. We have older people in this congregation have so much wisdom, so much learning. Young guys, young kids, there's certain things you can't learn off the internet, certain things you need to talk to an older person about. And again, side note, just because it's on the internet doesn't mean it's right. Anyway, number two, I'd like us to remember our focus. And our focus, I hope and pray, will be on Jesus Christ. And one of the scriptures we read this morning, Paul was talking to slaves and their masters, but it's in the context really of families and in just how you live your life. And Paul said that whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. We're not going to be serving the new preacher when he comes in. We're not serving the elders or the deacons. We're not serving anyone except Jesus Christ. So we're keeping our focus there. Everything we're doing is for him. Everything we're doing is for his honor and glory. In the church in Corinth, when Paul was in Corinth, there was a lot of division. What were people saying? I am of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Peter. They were following all these people. And what did Paul say? Were these guys, did they die for you? No, it's Jesus Christ. And then Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, I decided to know nothing while I was with you except for Jesus Christ and him crucified. Our focus is on Jesus. Whatever Jesus did, whatever Jesus wants us to do, we're going to do that in the same spirit that Jesus did. Keep our focus there. Again, we'll have some things that when Mike comes in, some things will be a little bit different. And let's just keep remembering. Let's focus on Jesus. Let's work together in unity. Let's all talk it together. Let's don't get too upset. Let's keep our focus on Jesus. And then again, the early church in Acts, as they were united and focused on Jesus. Have you been through the sermons in the book of Acts? Most of the sermons in the book of Acts are what? Jesus came. He was the Son of God. You killed him, and God raised him. The focus was on Jesus for many chapters in the book of Acts in the early church. Focus on Jesus. And then thirdly, wow, last point already. Some of you are probably smelling pizza, and your stomachs are growling. But here we are. We're on the third point. Let's see how we go on this. Lastly, I encourage you to share the good news. Share the good news of Jesus with other people. Tell me, guys, what other organization in the world is responsible for teaching people about Jesus? It doesn't exist, does it? It's the church. We as Christians and the church, the only organization in the world responsible for helping people know more about Jesus Christ. There are a lot of ways to do that. We have people that we support at Memorial Road that are doing ministries where a lot of it is providing food and clothing for other people and sharing the good news. We have several medical missions that go out every year to Guatemala and other places. And as the people are waiting in line, they have someone there praying with them and sharing the good news or trying to get them to share the good news. There's a lot of ways we can do missions. We got a group that's going to a children's home. Nancy and I may take a group to to Tanzania early December and take some of our athletes there. We're trying to get a little bit of missions focus with our athletes who aren't Christians and try to bring them in to see more about Christ. And the lady that runs that children's home grew up in Tipton, Oklahoma. She and her sister were found in a chicken coop. And some people rescued them and raised them. She and her husband are in their mid-70s in Tanzania, taking in orphaned and abandoned children up to 3 years old. The government brings the children to them, so there's no accusations of they stole the kids, they kidnapped them, they took them from people. The government, when they see a child in need, they bring them to these people and they raise. There's a lot of way of doing missions in there. Do you know what they do when they have those little kids there from just birth to 2 to 3 years old? Every day they're singing songs to them. Every day they're doing Bible stories with them. Every day they're trying to teach them about Jesus as 0 to 2 to 3 year old kids. A lot of way to do missions. A lot of way for a church to reach out. We reached out. We were in a poor area. It was a rough and tumble area. And we would have a giveaway day 2 or 3 times a year. Our members would sometimes go buy things and give away new things. Sometimes we'd give away things that were in good condition we weren't using. But as we did that, we were trying to tell people and introduce them some way to Jesus. We had back to school breakfast. The kids, a lot of them didn't get a breakfast anytime. So we'd have a breakfast. We'd do pancakes. We'd do muffins. And the kids would come, their eyes were that big. We'd feed them breakfast, and then we'd try to talk to them about Jesus. A lot of ways of doing Jesus, of sharing Jesus with other people. But we, the church, God's people, are really the only organization that is charged with sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with other people. We read the scripture, Matthew 28, go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. How do you make disciples? You encounter people, you engage people, you share the good news with people, and then as the passage says, you baptize them in Christ. And guys, I'm not saying any of this is easy. Everybody with me? How long have I been in ministry? Too long, some of you are saying. A long time. And I'm not saying it's easy. Every person we taught did not become a Christian. Some of the people, I think I've told you one time, when Nancy and I studied with this couple, and after about 8 weeks, I said, so what are you going to do about this? And the guy said, you know, I haven't agreed with anything you've said since the second week. Well, I made a big mistake in my teaching, didn't I? Because I wasn't asking for any feedback. I wasn't, as we went along, saying, how do you feel about this? What do you think about this? Da, 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 da. That taught me a lot about teaching other people. As you teach, say, what do you think about this? How are you feeling about this? I didn't do that. Boom, right in the nose. I hadn't agreed with anything like that. So, and we had other people, you know, I told you about the guys I think that I taught that I thought I was going to get beaten up. I really thought they were going to beat me up. And then they moved back to England, and they had a son that died tragically. The man who was trying to beat me up or threatening to beat me up, after his son tragically died, he became a Christian. For their 50th anniversary, they came to Oklahoma to spend time with our mission team. It meant that much to them that we had been willing to share the gospel with them. Sharing the gospel with people is difficult, and it's challenging. But guys, you share the gospel and someone becomes a Christian, I tell you, it's one of the most beautiful things you'll ever see, isn't it? A person is born again, becomes a child of God, their sins are forgiven, and they begin to learn how to walk with God. They will never forget what you have done for them and what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for them. And the church is the group of people that are called to do that. Some of you may remember one of the lessons I gave with the M&Ms. M&Ms, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, and he's committed to us the message of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ. He has given us, weak, sometimes timid, sometimes frightened people, he has committed to us the ministry and the message of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. That's to you and me. We have been reconciled to Christ, so now we share in that ministry of letting everyone know of what Jesus has done. Guys, it's been beautiful being with you. Thank you for letting me be here. I'd like to encourage you again, stay united and work on unity. And just keep praying all the way. You're praying that we'll be united. Keep our focus on Jesus. What does Jesus want us to do? And pray that God will help us to do that. And then figure out we're going to impact our community. And we may use a few different methods. Some of the things we tried in Australia did not work at all. We thought, this is a brilliant idea. We got a great idea. Not a single person responded to our great idea that we had. And then we had some other ideas. People said, I don't think that's so good. We said, well, let's try it anyway. We tried, boom. We had some people become Christians. So we're trying different things. We're doing things. God has given us a range of what we can do to help someone come to Christ. And we want to be biblical, but we also want to be a challenging and creative in what we do in reaching people for God and in serving him. That lesson that popped into my brain at the front as I was sitting there was praying that God will give us the eyes of faith. The eyes of faith. And I just started thinking, Joshua and Caleb, those other 10 spies could not see a single way that God could get them to the promised land. And what did Joshua and Caleb said? The Lord is with us, and we can surely do this. He will deliver the enemy into our hands. They had the eyes of faith. I'm thinking of Elisha, 2 Kings chapter 6. The Arameans surrounded him in Dothan, and people were starving to death, and there were just terrible things happening. And Elisha said, Lord, pray that the people's eyes will be opened. Everyone thought they were doomed to die. Their eyes were opened, and then they could see the angels of God surrounding the city, and they were delivered the next day. God can do through us immeasurably more than we ask, think, or imagine. Ephesians chapter 3. Give us the eyes of faith, Lord, that we will walk with you in faith, knowing your power and that you want to work through us to do great things to honor Jesus Christ, God the Father, through the power of God's Holy Spirit. If there's any way we can help you spiritually this morning, we want to offer an invitation. We'd be love to pray with you if you have a need we need to pray about. If you want to be baptized into Christ today and to be part of God's family, be added to his body, the church, we would be really happy to help you with that. If there's any way we can help you spiritually this morning, we'd encourage you to come and let us know as we stand and sing.